Thank you, everybody. I was scared to worship this morning because I didn't want to come undone and not be able to speak. But I think the phrase that stood out was Jesus for my family. And I'm really grateful for my family that's here today, my own little family and extended family. But I'm also really grateful for this whole group of family. And one of the things that I'm talking about today is the sense of belonging to a group of people and how the crux of this is that we need each other and we need to come back. And so my talk today is titled Go Forward, Learning from Jesus' Final Move. And the final move, like just before, you know, he was crucified, he made this final move. And there's two things that in this kind of chapter that I'm going to chat about today that he obviously thought was important. And so I thought, in light of where we find ourselves, so I chose this title, Go Forward, even before our Thunder Fund was created for this new building. And every time I listen to or watch that video, I see Theron go, lean forward, lean forward. And Mark's talked to us a lot about the sense that we are, like, we have packed up camp and we are moving forward. And so I want to continue on this theme, but learning from our hero, Jesus, in terms of, what can we learn from him going forward? So the passage that, Jason, can you switch? It's a bit of a long passage, so I'm going to read it, but we're going to trust the Holy Spirit. I don't know if it's like that for you guys, but when the person that's in front reads scripture, they're like, things pop out. So I pray, Father God, that today as I'm reading this scripture, that your Holy Spirit would lighten things up from your word, and that whatever we need to hear, we can hear, and whatever we don't have to hear, we can just leave. Amen. So I'm just going to read it. I'm going to try and take my time. Jesus knew that the hour had come for him to leave this world and go to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power and that he had come from God and was going back to God. So he got up from the meal, took off his outer clothing and wrapped a towel around his waist. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash his disciples' feet, drying them with the same towel that was wrapped around him. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, Lord, are you going to wash my feet? Jesus replied, you do not realize now what I'm doing, but later you will. Now, said Peter, you shall never wash my feet. Jesus answered, unless I wash your feet, you have no part with me. Then, Lord, Simon Peter replied, just everything. Not just my feet, not just my hands, everything. Jesus answered, those who have had a bath need only wash their feet, their whole body is clean. And when he had finished washing all his disciples' feet, he put on his clothes and returned to his place. Then Jesus said, do you understand what I have done for you? He asked them. You call me teacher and Lord, and rightly so, for that is what I am. Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also should wash one another's feet. I've set an example that you should do as I have done for you. Very truly, I tell you, no servant is greater than his master, nor is his messenger greater than the one who sent him. Now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them. And so if we go to this next slide, there are five things that in that first little part of the scripture that kind of stood out in terms of what Jesus knew. Jesus knew the timing or the season. Jesus knew his identity as a son of God and that he was going back to his Father. Jesus knew his purpose and had confidence that he would do it well. And that part, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. And I love how all of us have a similar purpose. Like we all kind of often ask ourselves, I wonder what my purpose is. And actually the Bible is quite clear that we have a similar purpose. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your mind, all your soul, all your everything. And love those around you like Jesus loves us. You know, so there's a similar theme in our purpose. And I'll get to our authority now. But I love three things about the way Jesus loved. It says, having loved his own, like there's a sense of his own family, his own disciples, the people that were close to him first, and he loved them to the end. Like he made a real effort to love these people that are really difficult to love. Like our family and our friends, the people that are close to us are really the hardest to love. But he made it a real effort to love them to the end. The second thing is, as he went along, he also had this generosity and open eyes for, as he went along, as he walked, as he went to work, as he loved and found people that need him. And I think that's important because sometimes we feel overwhelmed with everybody we need to love, you know, but there was a sense that Jesus just, as he went, he opened his eyes and he watched for who he could love. So firstly, he was committed to his own, but he also, as he went along. And then the third thing that says, Jesus loved Martha, thank goodness. He loved Martha because I can be a little bit of a Martha, and I think some of us. But the point I'm trying to make here is that he loved Martha, he loved Mary, he loved Lazarus, and then he waited. There is a thing around boundaries and love and not rushing in to help everybody and all things. Like sometimes by discerning the Spirit, we love, but we wait, and we allow people to grow up, do their own thing, have their own boundaries. So that kind of stood out for this kind of purpose of love that Jesus had. And then the authority given to him, that the Father had put all things under his power. So like I said, we all have a similar purpose, but there's some authority that's given to each one of us specifically. And I still sometimes wake up and wonder what my mantle is, what my place is, what my authority is. And I pray to God that I will gather more confidence in what that is, that every day I would know and be more sure of what it is, not because I'm better than the next one, but just because I have a specific calling and a specific authority given to me. So on Thursday, we had a leadership meeting, and Dave Peterson, they have a little manual like this from the Fountain Vineyard in the Eastern Cape. And what I found really helpful in here was a little section called Finding Your Grace-Based Ministry. And it's like eight little questions that you can ask yourself to kind of figure out a little bit. If you're unsure, you know, some of you might really know like what God's called you to do and why you're here and what authority you have. But there's eight little questions that really helps in kind of getting and gaining some clarity when you sit with God and go, okay, things for example. Your journey of healing, what have you been through, what have you overcome? Any kind of revelation or prophetic words that you've had, any kind of burden on your heart, the people around you, your current situation, your gifting. So things like that. I've printed out a few here if any of you want to come and pick up some and just have a look at it. Because I think it's important, and I'll tell you now why. Okay, so the next slide, Jason. And so the question is, how sure are we? And again, this idea of belonging, identity, purpose is a new word. It can become quite a buzzword, and especially in the world we live in. It's like, I've heard it before. But we know that it's actually really hard, and especially if we're wanting to live the way of Jesus, because I promise you, you're going to walk out here and probably forget everything I've said if it wasn't for the Holy Spirit that reminds us. Because we walk out here and we think, my husband doesn't really love me. My son or daughter is going through a breakup and I can't do anything about it. Yeah, but I have to leave here and care for my father that's ill. I've worked my whole life and I have nothing to show for it. I want to retire, but I can't. Or I'm in my 40s, but I've just worked. I make ends meet, but I have no sense, and I feel like I'm stuck. Like we literally walk out of here, and all of those things flood our mind, and we have... then it's hard to remember the truth. It's hard to remember who we are in Christ, where we belong, what our purpose is. And so, we also know that it's a lifelong journey. It's not something that you arrive at today or tomorrow. But there is a way. And the next illustration in this passage, the fact that Jesus washed his disciples' feet. When I read it, something really highlighted for me, which I'll share with you now, in terms of making this journey of remembering the truth to help us to get through it and to help one another. But first, I want to take a little bit of a detour and chat about Jesus knew the timing. I looked at probably about 6 months worth of prophetic words and pictures that has come through the prayer ministry, at church, anything that anybody has documented. I've asked a few people to send me some stuff. And I've tried to look for a pattern. Because I think as a collective, obviously in your own life, it's important to know what your season is. Is it a season of rest, of pruning, of moving, whatever it is. But as a collective, I think it's important that we know like some of that surety of where we find ourselves. And so I've found little nuggets and grouped them into themes to help us remember. And we can also look back at this and remember. You can put the next slide on. Okay, so this is the first four. Ooh, it's loud. I feel very serious this morning, but I think it's because, I feel so sure about what we need to do and hold each other. I feel like it's important. But anyways, so the first thing is move. We've had words like leap forward, cross over, transition, new wine skins, rebirth. The plane kind of lining up, taking off, a boat setting out to sea, breaking us. Taryn shared something about a wildebeest migration. This idea of we are on the move. You know, we are an army breaking camp and we are moving. And I think it's significant because as a church, we need to prepare ourselves for others, for new believers, for new things that God is doing. And I can't help but imagine that as a collective, we are actually quite prepared. I know the enemy might come in and go, you're too young, you're too old, you don't have enough theological background, you haven't really done anything like this before, whatever it is. But I actually think that we are quite a strong army that's been prepared. So actually this talk today is very much for our congregation and for anybody that is here, that there's really there's a maturity in this body of believers that I really feel God has prepared and will continue to prepare for others to join. And so the next one is be courageous. There will be giants, storms, and there's this kind of assuredness, and that's why we need to hold on to this truth, because we are going to need it. It's not necessarily going to be all smooth sailing. And then a new space in a new way, a space for creativity, a body repair shop. I'll ask Tim just now to come up. A railway station, a platform, a stop, a rest, a lighthouse for the unloved, a big tree with branches for people to sit under, Bethesda, House of Mercy, meals and fellowship at church and home. So there's very much a place where people come in to find refuge. Tim, would you come up and just share? I just want to say a quick thing. A big thank you to our prayer warriors. That Tuesday prayer meeting is growing. And we've had a lot of words on the board that's part of what I'm sharing this morning. And also the Freedom Prayer Team. Thank you, Kath. Like you guys don't understand how valuable each of those groups and times that you make available are.
Thank you. Do many of you remember the A-Team TV series? I think Judy can remember the whole preamble. And their leader was a guy called Hannibal. And do you remember his catchphrase? I love it when a plan comes together. So I love it even more when God's plan comes together. So back in December, this young lady that dances gracefully in front here brought a word, an image she had of sitting on the beach and seeing the waves. And she felt the urge that she needed to plunge in. Taryn doesn't even remember saying it, but I promise you she did say it. And Costa told us to meditate things, much like what you were saying. Remember, whatever people say up here, remember, meditate. Don't just rush on to the next thing. Think about what God is saying. And God told Taryn to plunge in, take the plunge. And so I've been thinking about this and like, what does it mean? Our last meeting that we had at the Presby Church, our fearless leader, Mark, preached about the priests taking the Ark of the Covenant and stepping into the Jordan. Now, Heather and I had the privilege of being and going to see the Jordan River. It's quite a substantial river at that place, probably as big as the Breda that we know here. And for these guys to actually step into the river, they had to take the plunge. Now I could see God's plan starting to come together. What does it mean to take the plunge? What is God saying? What is God doing? And then we had the move here where our leaders took the plunge, took us out of the scout wall to the Presby Church, to this wonderful site. And what is God doing? What is God saying? What is God up to? And that scripture came to mind, this is the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our sight. Let us be glad and rejoice in it. It's a tough crowd, eh, Mark? A couple of amens. So God is up to something. What is God doing? And I started looking at context, and this building that we're in was an auto repair shop. And suddenly I started seeing what God was doing. He wanted us to be a people repair shop. So Jesus hasn't come, and here's your alliteration again. Jesus hasn't come to polish perfect, pristine Porsches. He's come to recover, to rebuild, and to restore wrecks. And so this is what he's asking us to partner with him. Some of you are going to be going out onto life's highway and bringing in wrecks. Some are going to be doing, breaking it down and rebuilding. Some are going to be polishing. Some are going to be just fixing up a bit of dings there along the way. But God wants us all to take the plunge, to join him in what he's doing, in rebuilding. So my granddaughter, Emily, called the family together. She wanted to have a meeting. So we had this meeting, and I said, Emily, what's it all about? And she said, she wants to know about the baptism. She said she's very nervous. So I explained it to you, and I said, Emily, don't be nervous. If it's from God, get excited. And you know, the word of God is a two-edged sword. As I said that, God said to me, don't be nervous, get excited. And I'm so excited about what God is doing here. This has just been phase one, but he has got so much planned for this body to get involved. He's doing something marvelous, people. And Hebrews tells us, we are not those who shrink back, but we are those who have faith and believe, and God's going to do great things. So this is how the whole plan I see of God coming together is putting us here as a people repair shop. And over to you, Vicky.
Amen. Thank you, Tim. Okay, so if it's going to be a body repair shop, we're going to have to do it together. It is a Vineyard Valley. Everybody gets to play, and we've heard it many times, and if we hear it, we might not hear it anymore because we've heard it so many times, but there's definitely a new, fresh revelation of this. A while ago, when we had that session at Trinity Church, the Holy Spirit Week, I was praying, and I got this picture of a prism that the light reflects through. I was like, oh, rock band. No, anyways, nothing came to mind. And so the next day, I had a, I'm studying theology at the moment, and I had a session. And as the guy was talking through all the things, this little picture pops up with this prism reflecting. I'm like, ooh, I better listen. I was a bit like slack, but now I have to open my ears because this must be important. Anyways, and as I was looking at this picture, he was talking about how the Jesuits did things differently. They believe that everybody is a leader in their own right, and that actually each person has a place in this world. And even if you're only leading your family or whatever it is that you're doing, we're going to have to do it together. And afterwards, when I spoke to the guy and I said, oh, I really appreciate your picture, he said, yes, this morning, God woke me up and said, you need to change that picture because there was a different one there. You need to change it to this one. I'm like, oh, thank you, Jesus. So, yeah, meaning we're all going to have to be in this plan. And then the fifth one, you can change the slide, is to pass on the baton. To come alongside others, to share our knowledge. A cord of three is stronger. Three measures of flour can feed 100. So it's this idea of sometimes we can lead and we're so busy doing the thing that we are really good at that we forget to take one or two people with us. Because if I've got a skill, if I know how to welcome people nicely, I can teach other people to do it if they've got an inclination to do it, so that we are always like stronger by passing on anything that we have to give. And then the sixth one is a prepared army. Nobody is jostling for position. Each one knows what they're doing. There's structure, and there's a continuous acceptance and sharing of this peace that's available to all of us. And so in this next season, if we want to be prepared for others or what God is doing, we're going to have to be a little bit more structured so that we know what our place is and where we fit in. And then the last one, our future generation. So this theme has come through so, so strongly, and it's really on my heart as well. I was reflecting on a few people and some families that I know, and they've got some teenagers, and just how lost they seem. And the picture that came to mind is there's no watchman on the wall. You know, their parents are so busy with their own things. Nobody's watching out for them, you know. And the other picture was that of a covering. You know how Jesus, the mercy seat and the covering, but if you imagine a building and it's all covered with a big stretched kind of tent. So even though there's holes, even though there's weaknesses, even though each of us have cracks and we're not quite perfect, obviously Jesus is our covering, and so we can ask him to show us our weakness and our holes so that we can kind of work along and be better, and not better, but more like him. But to know that Jesus is our covering, and we as adults are covering for our children. Like, we have been given the authority, talk about a mantle. You know, as the people that cover. So it's not like only kids are going to be, we're only going to do everything for kids, because we have to strengthen families. We have to, you're a grandparent, you're an aunt, so all of us have a place. But there's really a emphasis on, you know, making provision for our children. I wasn't in the meeting, but Taryn sent me a message that came through at the leaders' meeting on Friday about a wildebeest migration. And the reason they move is because they're going for food, and this idea around we're moving and we need to feed the children. Like, we're moving so that we can make space, because in this migration they have babies, and then, you know, they look for food. And I think that was the gist of it. But yeah, feed my children. So that is the seven prophetic themes. And we'll try and put it somewhere or keep it up, or if you're interested. So that we can keep reminding ourselves in terms of know the timing, know what we're part of. Okay, and then the next slide. Let's for a second assume that this is a towel, and that this towel represents all the knowing. I know my purpose, I know my identity, I know that I belong, I know what I'm supposed to do. Let's for a minute assume that. And so this image, this next image in this kind of passage that, so Jesus knew all these things, and then he got up. And the reason he could get up is because he knew all these things. He was sure about it. And he took off his jacket. I'm not going to take my jacket off. I'm cold. And again, the imagery that comes off when Jesus takes off his jacket is he takes off any masks, any kind of things that might be covering. And also, when we did this building, when people come in, the first thing they do is they take their jacket off. And they roll up their sleeves and they begin to work. And so it's this imagery of coming in, taking off our jacket, being willing to serve, and being willing to be vulnerable and open to those that we find here. And then Jesus ties this towel of truth around his waist, you know, the belt of truth. And he is able to go down onto the disciples' level. He pulls some of his own spirit, some of his own vulnerability out into the bowl. And he takes their feet and he washes them off. Because as we go along in this world, we pick up some dust. We have a past. We have difficulties. And here, we might be safe. Maybe we're safe at our homes. But as we leave this place, and as we invite people in, as we go to share the gospel and the wonderful story of Jesus, there will be persecution. There will be difficulty. And we'll pick up dust as we go along. And so that's why it's this kind of continuous process of coming back into the family of believers, coming back into people that we can trust and can be vulnerable with to wash off our dust so that we can be prepared and ready to go again, because we need to keep going. So he washed his disciples' feet and he dried them with the same truth. So again, remember that this is the truth of, as he dries the disciples' feet, as we dry each other's feet, we remind each other, Jesse, that you belong. Remember that you are daughter of God. Remember that you can speak into children's life. You've been prepared for it. Like, so as we kind of go along, we sit with each other and we take our time and we prepare and we wash and we remind for the next season or for the next day. I remember going away for a weekend with family and friends, and there's lots of turmoil, divorce stuff, and you know, and as I kind of came back, I realized how anxious I was feeling from being out on this weekend and this lack of peace that people that haven't yet placed their trust in God have. Like, like just the opposite, and how I didn't realize how lucky I am to have this, and how much peace I actually have compared to some of my friends and family out there that's not part of a body of believers. And I was like rushing back going, oh, I need to talk to somebody about this because I need to let it off. I need to let this feeling go. Okay, and then the last slide, I think. The next slide. The one verse that in verse 8 of what I've read. Where is it? No, said Peter, you shall never wash my feet. Jesus answered, unless I wash your feet, you'll have no part of me. The Passion Translation says, then you'll not be able to share my life with me. And then the Message Version says, Jesus said, if I don't wash your feet, you can't be part of what I'm doing. And so, there's this washing of feet so that we can be part of Jesus' plan. We've now said, we have a plan. We have an idea of where we're going. And he seems to have thought it was really necessary to wash each other's feet. And then he also said to Peter, but don't worry, only your feet. You don't have to worry about your head and your hands. Our head, if we can remember the helmet of salvation, when you give your heart to God, your salvation is sure. We've made a decision. We have a deposit of the Spirit. We have been washed. It is done. It is finished. This is merely a journey of following the way of Jesus and becoming more like him. It's not like because we have to or we need to or anything. It's more just a case of drawing closer to him in an intimate relationship with him and with those around us as we become more and more like him. And so only two more points and then I'm done. The second last one is give and receive. So last night we went to Karen's birthday and it was really lovely. And Jess, we did painting, which I'm terrible at. She tried to help me. It wasn't very successful. Shame she tried. But anyways, at the end of the evening, she said, I'll buy your pottery for you. Maybe she felt bad because it was really terrible. And I was like, ooh, why? Okay, but what I realized is, as I left, that my heart was so full because somebody did something for me that I didn't have to. And yet how uncomfortable I kind of felt by receiving it. And so for some of us, we're really good at serving and really good at helping everybody and being there and washing and, we don't find it hard. But there is pride in being able to receive, to actually take when it's necessary, when it's your time, when you're struggling and able to kind of receive. And then the last one is, the verse says, if you do this, you will be blessed. And we know that blessed in our kingdom doesn't mean blessed in riches and kingship and all the rest. We know that blessed is the poor, blessed is the meek, blessed is the peacemakers. And blessed is the pure in heart, for they will see God. And Jesus said, if you see me, you have seen the Father. And so I pray that as we go forward, if people see us, they'll see Jesus. And for that, the last little slide is a reminder. It says, an old rabbi said, in the olden days, there were men who saw the face of God. Why don't they anymore? A young student asked. Because nowadays, no one stoops so low, he replied. And it's just the reminder that, again, we can talk about this, but in reality, to stoop so low, to really care for others, to put your own pride on the back burner, to really be there is actually really hard. But blessed we would be, because we would see the face of God. And yeah, that's it. Tim's going to do our communion. Yes, I can. Father God, we are so incredibly grateful for you and for this morning to be able to come into your presence. We come because you are here. Where two or more are gathered, you are there, and that's why we're here. Never mind the treats, never mind the people, but because you are here and we need you. Thank you, God, for this family, for this togetherness, and that I pray over this next season we will build very strong cords of relationship And support each other to know the things that you knew, and that we become more and more like you, Jesus. I'm sorry that you had to die on the cross for us. I'm sorry that you had to walk up that hill. But we are forever grateful that we can be here because of it. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.